The world has a lot to say. It can be hard to cut through the noise and find great audio when you want it. Clamor makes great audio accessible by organizing everything into 18-second highlights. Clamor gives you a personalized power feed of the best information and entertainment in audio. If you discover something that you love, tap to expand the Clamor into full-length music and podcasts. Best of all, you can share Clamors with friends. You can even make your own Clamors, record from scratch, import, or remix other people's Clamors. Clamor brings you the world's best audio, one bite at a time.
Welcome to chilllovelradio.net. Today's show is sponsored by PromoDJ.com, AudioBoom.com, Clamor.com, SBSDesigns.com, Athukar Digital Distribution, Media Services NYC, Open Bar Music, Republic Music NYC.com, VintageSoulSupply.com, DiamondFuse.com, and ManhattanScreenPrint.com. Enjoy the show.
Warning, the broadcast you're about to listen to
is a politically incorrect area. All PC personnel entering these premises will encounter gravely offensive behavior and opinions. Rampant insensitivity has been authorized.
Hey guys, thank you guys for tuning in to the Open Bottle Talk. We'd like to thank chilllovelradio.net. And I'm here with The Frank, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, The Frank.
What's up, guys?
And as what we always do on the show, Frank, how has everything been for you since the last time I seen you? Which was the road trip, by the way.
It was the road trip. It's been good. School is finally over. We ended today. I got to check out my room this morning, so it's all good. Summertime is here. I'm ready for the pool. Although,
did any kids cry?
I didn't have any kids cry. I think I saw a kid or two cry.
I want to go out.
Yeah.
Did they tell you that they love you and miss you?
No. You know, my experience with the kids I've taught is I'll get that the following year from them.
Oh, when you see them a little bit older?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind
of
weird.
Isn't that weird?
That is kind of weird.
I get no love from my students till they don't have
them. That's what I'm talking about.
That's not such a bad thing, though.
No, it's not. No. So what else? What was some of your highlights from the road trip, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, man. We had an absolutely outstanding time at Barley Brothers. I think that brewery we spent the most time at.
Yeah.
With the brewmaster himself. Just chilling, drinking his beer, and you and I gave honest reviews. And
yeah.
I think what was amazing was he was just like, you guys are right on.
Kind of creepy, huh?
It was a little creepy because we weren't trying to play to him.
No.
For sure.
I'm not here for that.
But I think every single one, he was like, yeah, that's what I was looking for. You guys are right on.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, no, they were really... Everybody in house was super
nice. Fantastic.
But the one that sticks out the most is the Barley Brothers. Yeah, they went all out, red carpet. They gave us great hospitality.
Yeah.
And the cool part was they weren't supposed to let us in the brewery room where they brew because they weren't giving any tours that day.
Yeah, it was Pete's day off.
It was his day off. Yeah, it was. And I thought it was really, really cool. He's like the ultimate hippie.
Yeah.
He was the ultimate hippie. And then I enjoyed all the staff over at College Street Brewery.
Yep.
That was really good. And then Mud Shark, surprisingly, I thought it was going to be more, I mean, it's beer friendly.
Yeah.
But it was more of a restaurant.
More restaurant.
It was more restaurant, which I thought was a great twist to, you know, the brew pub life. It was more restaurant because it had a bigger kitchen. It had more room for the restaurant. But, man, did you see how many tap handles they had?
Well, we got
the super flight.
The flight, and we were thinking, they got probably maybe 10 beers tops.
They gave us 18 plus.
18 beers.
Yeah, it was six. No, it was six per flight.
We had three flights.
And we had three extra beers on top of that.
Oh, yeah.
And including two more that were the bartender mixed them and made beer cocktails with them. We were mixing two different beers.
How did we make it home?
With hope, prayer, and love. No. No, guys, we sampled them, and what made it an awesome trip was we got out there in a great amount of time, But at each place, we sobered up. We ate. I mean, it wasn't like, all right, let's get to the next spot. No, we practice safety, guys. We don't ever condone drinking and driving.
That's true.
I'll be honest with you. It's fucking stupid if you get behind the wheel. Like, seriously, come on, stop it. It's what, 2016?
Yeah.
All right, stop that shit.
Yeah.
All right, so.
But I think the highlight, honestly, I think the highlight was going to Blackbridge Butte Brewery.
Oh, yeah, 3B.
Kingman, Arizona. And because you and I walked up there, and it was, we're in this kind of dead little town.
Oh, yeah.
And we were like, maybe we'll.
We need one more beer.
Maybe we'll skip this. But
I'm glad we didn't.
No, I'm so glad we didn't, because it was phenomenal.
Because we were told by College Street Brewery, by J.T. Spencer,
yeah,
to go check these new guys out. And we were like, okay. And it was real late, because we were driving back, and it was already getting dark. And we said, all right, let's have one more. You know, well, let's go check them out. What's going to hurt? And it was like this town was, it was like eerie dead.
Yeah.
Like nobody moving in the streets. And so we go inside this little tiny brewery. And it only had what looked like three machines in the back. And then two, like, storage units.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I introduced myself to them. But it was funny because the bartender knew me from other beer festivals, yeah, which was pretty interesting. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And all of a sudden, they were like, yeah, we're going to call the brewmaster, Tim. And I was like, no, we just want to talk about some of the beers. And sure enough, they didn't listen. They called the brewmaster because he had just left. We were in the middle of our show recording for Open Bottle Talk and sampling some beers. And all of a sudden, 30 minutes turned into like 2 hours hanging out with them. He pulled out some interesting pepper beer, which I'm going to be honest with you, is probably the worst, best thing I've ever had, because it burnt. Like, it didn't get. Okay, so the heat wouldn't let up.
Let's tell the people, though. It had
three peppers:
jalapenos, habaneros, and ghost peppers.
Yep. And so it was a very, very spicy beer.
Yeah.
But the best part about it was the finish and how you intake it was superior than any pepper spice beer I've ever had.
I would agree.
But that burn got you every time. And it wouldn't let up every time. It was like you couldn't get used to it.
Yeah.
And so that's why I say it's the worst, best thing ever. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh. And he went in and grabbed that aged one where they left the other.
The rum barrel.
In the rum barrel, yeah, guys. Oof. With actual ghost pepper pieces in it just sitting in there. And that was I think at that point it killed me.
Yeah.
But it was so good. I couldn't stop drinking it. I just didn't want it to end. It was that spicy. But overall, it was a great trip. I think you're a hell of a traveling companion. You didn't fart once.
I tried not to.
I appreciate that. You didn't snore when you fell asleep. If you did, I was driving. And then I also learned on this trip that you can't drive manual.
That's true.
So,
well, I can. I prefer not to.
Because you don't want to grind the gears?
Right. Well, I haven't driven a manual in probably 20 years.
That's okay. When's the last time you rode a bike?
Probably 20 years.
Okay, but you can still ride a bike, right?
Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah, so driving five speed is okay as well. But we've learned that if we're ever in trouble, I'm going to have to be the driver, especially if it's a manual vehicle. So, but other than that, overall, the trip was actually smashing. I think the best part for me was the fact that we went to this pit stop area, a little stopping place, and the sign said, watch out for poisonous snakes and no venomous ant creatures and scorpions. And I'm like, and so the whole time I'm looking on the ground because I'm like, ain't this a bitch? So I'm like, every step I took, I'm like, okay. And then I had to go use the restroom, looking everywhere, make sure there's no scorpions and shit.
He is definitely afraid of scorpions.
Well, do you know why?
No.
I live here in Nevada and I've only come across a few scorpions in passing, but never in my home.
Okay.
So here's the thing. In Arizona,
they're
in your home. They're everywhere. They're in your shoes, whatever. I got stuck. You can buy a kit, inject yourself. You're good. You can get the anti-venom.
Right.
I ain't never been stung by no scorpion.
Probably hurts.
Yo, it's going to be. I've been bit by a brown recluse, but that sucks. So I can only imagine. And then with my luck, I would get the baby scorpions, the ones that don't stop. Because, you know, baby scorpions don't want to die, so they just going to keep sticking you repeatedly. Right. I'd rather fight a mature scorpion.
Sure.
You know, like in Clash of the Titans.
Yep.
I'll fight one of those. So, all right, guys. So, anything else you want to talk about? Anything else that's really good?
No, I think that's summed it up nicely.
Yeah, it was a good road trip. Also, we will be heading to, where are we going next?
We're going to Utah. We're going to see the folks at Wasatch Squatters.
On the 9th, huh?
Yep.
Sweet. Nice, nice. Are you excited about that?
I am. I am. Looking forward to it.
All right. So, guys, we're going to go ahead and get you guys ready because I know you've been waiting. All right. The Frank. That's right, everybody. It's no longer just Frank. It is the Frank.
Apparently.
Yeah. All right, Frank. What do we got here for today?
We're going to be drinking Eel Legs Unfiltered Lager by Brick by Brick. Tonopah Double IPA. Triple Voodoo Inception Belgian Style Ale. We're going to be drinking 24 Karat Golden Ale by our friends at Stone. And last but definitely not least, Boont Amber Ale from Anderson Valley.
Okay, so out of all these, which one are you least? Actually, you know, let's save those questions for the end of the show.
Yeah.
Which, now, see, guys, this will be the first time in a long time that we're able to now talk about what was the worst out of the group, which one is the best out of the group, and we'll talk about the labeling and all that stuff. So with these will all be, these are all going to be incorporated in those sort of questions. So I'll have my, let's see, how many questions do we want to ask each other at the end of this?
Let's go for five.
All right, so five questions.
Sure.
All right, so at the end of this, you're going to ask me five, and I'm going to ask you five.
All right.
All right, so that's the rules, guys, and they're all going to be different questions because we don't want to beat anything in anyone's head. So, all right, guys, we're going to go ahead, and we're going to reset, and we'll be right back. All right, guys, so we're back, and right now, we're going to go ahead and indulge into...
24 Karat Golden Ale by Stone Brewing. It's carrot cake-inspired Belgian ale. It is 8.5% ABV, brewed with carrots, cinnamon, raisins, and vanilla.
Should be interesting. So what do you think about the label?
It's a pretty cool bottle. I mean, Stone has all their bottles are kind of cool. They're all etched. This one does not look like any Stone beer you see because it's not about the, Stone is usually about kind of skulls and devil heads. This time it's really about carrots. So that's it's going to be interesting.
It looks pretty. I like it. It's got carrot. It looks like a little garden. A farm grove style garden setup. Well,
it's got everything that it said it has on it. So you've got carrots, you've got hops, you've got vanilla, you've got cinnamon sticks. I don't see raisins, but there they are, grapes.
Well, and also on the back here, it's telling me...
Oh, it's actually a collaboration.
Yeah, by Julie Goldberg, Monkey Paw, and Stone. I'm pretty interested about that. So basically, Julie Goldenberg is the winner of Stone Homebrew Competition. And then you've got Cosimo Sorrentino, who's the head brewer of Monkey Paw Brewing Company. And of course, you have Mitch Steele, who is the brewmaster of Stone Brewing Company. Did we tell them how to look these guys up or no?
We didn't.
Okay, well, they can look them up at stonebrewing.com/collab. You can check them out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest at Stone Brewing Company. And you want to use hashtag Stone Collaboration or Stone Collab when they're doing this. And then for once in the history of Stone that I've ever seen on any of their bottles,
right.
Drink fresh or age at cellar temp.
Interesting.
Because he's the people at Stone, they want you to drink their beer like
that. Yeah, they're not in now. Cellar.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. It might be because of the other two people who might truly believe in the cellaring.
True.
So they wanted to pay. You know, I give them respect for that. So, all right, guys, let's go ahead, and we're going to get right down to the smell. So,
cheers.
Well, it's spicy.
Yeah. Cinnamon, cardamom.
I'm getting a little bit of some nutmeg and something mentholated. A little mentholated. That might have been the cardamom. Now, do I smell raisins? No, but I do smell prunes.
Yeah.
It almost has like a barley wine smell to it.
Like a darkish fruit. Prunes or dates or...
Figs. Somewhere in there, yeah. It's got a wonderful fragrance, to be honest. And mind you guys, we're doing this at room temperature in order to get your nuances, your aromatics, and your flavor profile. Let it be room temperature. What we do is we let them sit out for a little bit. But this is a temperature-controlled room, so don't worry about it. This is not, like, hot or warm like you think. It's just not ice cold.
It almost comes off cider.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Now, do I smell carrots? No, but I do smell a touch of some vanilla, which is giving me that frosting. For carrot cake, to be honest. I think any other thing that we can pull off of this. But yeah, there's a little sweet. There's some, that malt level in here is highly impressive.
Which is interesting because Stone is usually really hop, 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 hop. fermentation of hops at all. So generally, you know, let's just take a Stone IPA, for example. You get, I mean, it's, granted, it's a different style of beer, right, but it's hop forward, mean immediately. As soon as you put it to the nose, you get hops right away. This is definitely a little more delicate, possibly even a little more elegant.
Yeah, it's very soft and velvety to the nose. And I'll be honest with you, I've been sitting on this ever since I met the new rep for Stone here in Vegas,
right,
and they were showcasing this. And I asked them, this was months ago, and it's just the way it smells now versus when I had it is absolutely the same.
Mm.
So it's that's pretty impressive for it to have its quality checked, and the QC guy, if they have one, whoever's doing their okay, it needs to be delicious. It's so far very impressive to know. So I want to give kudos to that.
Yep.
I don't care what anyone says, like Budweiser, even though who really smells their beer? Well, how many people before they eat smell their food?
True, but if you're drinking Bud, you're not smelling.
But you get what I'm saying, right?
Yep.
It's like
you're smelling it, but you're not looking for an aroma.
Right. Because you know, 90% of what you consume, you're gonna smell it before you have it, and then if it doesn't smell right, you're gonna eat it, but like something's a little off. But
right,
this aromatics are pretty much spot on as far as what you think a carrot cake should smell.
Yeah.
But not to mention that it complements the beer, so you smell the beer. But what we're looking for is characteristics that it's promoting. So
yeah,
yes, it is a beer smell, but you gotta look past that, guys.
Sure.
All right, so cheers to the taste. Let's get down into the boogly. Wow. Raisins. I can taste the raisins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely tasting carrot as far as the vegetable aspect, or you're going to get a vegetable-y taste to it. The texture actually is extremely creamy. I'm getting more vanilla, and then I'm getting the spices. Now, for me, the spices are the same spices you would find in carrot cake. So you've got, I don't know, a little bit of nutmeg, a little bit of cinnamon. You might even put a little clove in there, you know. You might put a little clove in there. But guys, this really does taste like, for me, it does taste like carrot cake.
Yeah, I think it's really spice forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's really kind of what you get immediately. Then it's kind of mellowing out maybe into the vanilla part. I'm not really getting carrot per se. It's more of an earthy. Something earthy about it. So it's definitely not like, I mean, I came from an Irish household where my mother boiled the shit out of oil, all the vegetables. So everything was really kind of soggy. And you put butter and salt on it, and it all tastes the same, whether it's carrots or broccoli or whatever.
Right.
But to me, this is more of a raw carrot flavor, which I don't necessarily equate with carrot cake.
I'm sorry, what?
Equate. Equals.
We can just say that.
I'm into the big words this week.
Fair enough. All right. I just wanted to make sure, because if I'm lost, there has to be at least three more motherfuckers on the listening one. With the queen.
Anyways, it smooths out in the end. It's creamy, it's velvety. Once you get past the spice is pretty big up front, which doesn't surprise me because it's Stone. So it's the way they treat really the rest of their beers that they're hop forward.
Right.
Instead, this time it's spice forward.
Absolutely. Overall experience with this is pretty impressive. I'm rather digging it. It's delicious. I also like the color scheme on the bottle that goes with the gold nail color. It looks like it's carrot orange and cream colored white, so like the frosting. But the more you drink on this, guys, the more satisfying you will be. Again, I would personally say drink it at room temperature. Not have it ice cold. I mean, have your beer at ice cold, but if you want to pick up some of the characteristics we were talking about, then you want to let it warm up over time. Now, you may say, Frank, is this a sipping beer or this is a consumption beer?
No, this is a sipping beer. This is not a quaffing beer, let's put it into a funnel kind of beer. This is a, especially when you're doing it at room temperature, I can't really think of anything that I want to slam back, you know, beer after beer after beer.
Right.
At room temperature. So I would go with, this is a social, let's hang out, have good conversation kind of beer, as opposed to let's get fucked up.
Yeah, we can
make
equate
bad
to
choices.
That. Yeah, we can equate to that.
Yeah.
I like that word, equate. All right, Frank, how you feel about it? 0 to 5.
0 to 5, I'm going to give it a 4. It's above average. I'm a little confused by the carrot cake reference because I'm not really getting carrot cake. It's more like deconstructed carrot cake. So, think about pumpkin ale. A lot of times when you get a pumpkin ale, it's really one way or the other. It's either the squash pumpkin or it's pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
And I think because it said carrot cake, in my mind I'm going, well, it's going to be more dessertish. It's going to be more on the sweet side. And it's not. Not that that's a bad thing. So I think 4 will do me for that.
Fair enough for me. I want to talk about how the label looks, which is phenomenal. Judging by the smell and the taste, it is a phenomenal piece of beer I've had in a long time by Stone, believe it or not. I kind of like it that they're doing something slightly different.
Yeah.
Not a lot of their stones that I've had come off in a sweet department.
Yeah. Oh,
they do a
not.
Lot of aggressive beers,
yeah.
And that's what they're known for.
Yeah.
Like especially the Arrogant Bastard, which, by the way, did you know that they bought the license to have now the Arrogant Bastard? It is now known as the Arrogant Bastard Brewing Company. Just pulled an in-depth move, which is an awesome thing. You might as well, because recently I was just in a nice debate with, I was cooking with Arrogant Bastard.
I saw that.
And someone had...
You didn't invite me over.
You know that you can come over.
Phenomenal.
You have... You
watching on Periscope.
You could easily come over at any given moment, bring the kids. Man, do you really have to ask?
That's true.
There you go. Because, guys, he lives next door to me, so...
And he is a phenomenal chef, my friend.
Oh, stop it. But anyways, no. So the Arrogant Bastard now says Arrogant Bastard Brewing Company on their bottles. The rest of their other beers say Stone Brewing Company. And somebody had the nerve to argue with me and go, no, that's a different brewery. And I said, no, they're going the ways of what InBev does. So good on them. So now when you buy an Arrogant Bastard, it's going to say Arrogant Bastard Brewing Company. And then when you buy all the other stuff, it's going to be Stone. But believe it or not, it's the same company. And I want to give them kudos for that. So my score for this particular beer from down to the fact that I can literally taste this array of vegetables and spice and this little bit of fruit on this golden ale, I'm going to go with a 4.2. And I'm very pleased with these guys. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and reset for the next beer. I hope you guys enjoyed this particular topic on
24 Karat Golden Ale by our friends at Stone and Julie Goldenberg and Monkey Paw.
Absolutely. Congratulations, guys. This was a really good collaboration, and I hope you guys continue.
I love that they included a homebrewer.
Hey, aren't we homebrewers?
You are now.
Yes, sir. All right, guys. We're all set up and ready to rock and roll, and we're ready to move on to our second beer of the show. So, Frank, take it away.
We're going to be drinking Boot Amber Alley by Anderson Valley out of Boonville, California. It is a 5.8 ABV Amber Ale. If you want more information on look up Anderson Valley on Google or Siri or whatever the fuck you use.
Oh, you said a bad word.
I did.
Awesome.
See what you can find out about Boot Amber Ale. Because I couldn't find it on the
Well, what we can do
it is
can. Now, here's the cool part. Anderson Valley is a solar-powered brewery.
They sure are.
Yes, sir. So we're going to crack this open.
Yes, please.
Oh, making a nice little mess here. Because it's awesome! Because everything is awesome. When you know you're drunk, a part of the team. You ever watched that movie?
Yes.
The Lego movie? What did you think of it?
It was cute. My kids loved it.
Oh, nice. All right, so let's go ahead and get down to the smell. All right. It's actually... I'm getting a lot of sweetness to this. It almost smells like a dessert. I'm getting some sort of dessert spice.
You and I are not matched up to it.
What do you mean?
I'm not smelling sweet, smelling malt.
Well, that is malt. Malt is sweet. That okay, so those that don't know. No, hold on. Let me tell you so we can get on the same page. All right, so if you want your bitter that comes from the hops, you want weird flavors like citrus notes and acid flavors and things like that, that comes from yeast, right?
For the most part.
Right, and then for the sweet, it comes from malt. That's okay. Where you get your sweetness from, right? And your color.
Yeah.
Okay, so I smell sweet.
You know what? It reminds me of a lot.
Okay.
To me, it's malty, but astringent.
Okay. You're not really getting much off of it, huh?
No.
I'm really picking up a lot going on here. I'm getting, not only am I getting this sweet, I'm getting this really crazy sweet to the nose, almost like caramel a little bit.
Okay.
But I'm getting like this very almost springtime flower freshness. I'm telling
you. You're getting a lot.
I don't know.
Getting longer.
I don't know what's going on, man. I really don't know. It's rather interesting, in my opinion. Just the snow alone. You know, I don't know if that's what they were reaching for, but I'm also not getting. Actually, you know, I'm getting a little bit of that little citrus. I'm actually getting orange and lemon.
I'm getting malt and I'm getting yeast.
Okay.
I swear to me, it's lager.
Do you sure not have a cold or anything?
No, I don't have.
Because normally we're pretty relatively the same.
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, that's cool, man. I rather enjoy the fact that we have something to go off with.
Yeah.
So let's see if the taste is any different.
So,
cheers. I can definitely tell you it tastes like a lager a little bit. It's got a metallic hit. I'm getting more of a toasty caramel flavor. I'm getting something toasty, like it's like not woodsy. When I say burnt, I'm thinking maybe burnt. Getting something over roasted, something a little over roasted,
just slightly turned.
It's a little Cajun,
but I'm still getting lager.
That's weird. I'm getting a little lager taste, but I mean the flavor profiles I'm getting is I'm getting something nutty, a nutty profile, getting a little caramel, and I'm getting metallic. All right, can we agree that this is rather deceptive?
It's confusing.
Unless
it's just me today.
I don't think it's you. It is a little confusing, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's not. Is it delicious?
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty good. I don't know if it's delicious. I'm trying to taste it a little bit more to see if I can pick up a little bit more. But right now, it's got a creamy mouthfeel. It's definitely malty at the front, and it does finish bitter, which for me, most lagers don't finish on the bitter side. And an amber is going to finish bitter.
Right.
So, to me, that's where it's going to fit the profile.
I'm actually really enjoying the fact that we're both giving two different descriptions on smell and taste. I really am enjoying this, even if this, let's just hypothetically say, this would be a lager. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish all lagers tasted like this.
Okay.
It's got a nutty profile. It's enjoyable. I'm pretty sure if we did this ice cold, I think we would enjoy this 10 times better. This is just not a complex beer with overall flavor profiles. It is just a simple amber ale. And for me, ambers do have a metallic hit, but it does have some characteristics of a lager, which is pretty spooky. All right, guys. So now let's talk about a few things here. Why would you think that it's so subtle that it would come off as it?
To me, the aroma is coming up straight lager, malty. Then tasting it itself, it has a lagerish taste to it. It's dry. It's malty in the front, a little more bitter on the back, but as an amber, it's going to me, it would be a little bitter in the back than straight, for lack of a better frame of reference, Budweiser. I'm confused. I honestly am really, really confused by this.
I can hear it in your tone. I think it's just too simple.
Okay.
I think it's a simple amber ale. It's too simple that maybe the expectation is it's not going to be a simple beer. Mm. Maybe if we take our expectations out of it. It has your characteristics of an amber ale, again, but there are some similar type of things going on that would remind you of said lager.
Right.
But doesn't necessarily mean that it tastes like that. This is definitely a different beer because of its simplicity. This would be your everyday six pack. If you had to pick a beer every day right after getting off work, this would be an everyday six pack.
I'd have to try it ice cold.
Okay.
To see if it's that kind of lawnmower beer, but I'm confused.
All right. Well, let's not have any more confusion
please
on you. So let's go ahead and grade this. What you got for me?
I'll go 3.5 because it's confusing. I really like amber style. So I was expecting a bit more malt profile, malty finish. And I'm not getting that. To me, it's lager. Although it says it's an ale, I mean, who knows? Maybe it's a lager yeast.
Could be. It's a very good question.
You know, because the fermentation is different. Ale yeast is on top, lager's on the bottom. So I don't know. To me, it tastes like a dark lager.
Ah.
And not dark, but, you know, bordering on dark. Because the color is red. I mean, it really is kind of like a dark honey color.
Right. Okay, for me, guys, I'm going to give it a 3. It brings nothing to the party. This is a very simple amber ale. Whether you are going to pick out a lager taste or an amber taste, this is very simple. Nothing more, nothing less, and there's nothing wrong with that, guys. I know you hear us talk about rant and rave about other beers, but sometimes the simple ones A, they're just simple. And three is not meaning that it's horrible. It's just average. It's just, it's there. It's,
yeah.
Grab a beer, have a beer, enjoy a beer, and let's move on. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and reset after these commercials. Probably not after these commercials. Maybe back after this commercial break. All right, guys, and we'll be right back. Let me ask you something, Frank.
You?
Last week, all right, I noticed I was at your house, right? We were homeboy.
Yeah.
And there was something on your home screen on your computer, and you were doing some sort of research and saw these people. What exactly were you on?
I was on a website called obsbeers.com.
Interesting. Is that beer-based? What is that?
Yeah, it's a website that does hundreds, if not thousands, of beer reviews. You can pretty much go on there, look up styles, look up breweries, look up different kinds of beers.
ABVs?
Yeah.
Really? Who does that?
Not anybody.
Wow.
But you can look up stuff like that and see, you know what, yeah, I'm in the mind tonight for maybe a 6 or 7% pilsner.
And they got that on there.
They sure do.
Wow, they pretty much sold everything. No, I was like looking at it. And I was like over your shoulder a little bit. I didn't mean to be a little creepy. Like,
that's all good.
I was like, wow, what is he looking at? Now, so I noticed that they're all videos. Are they just basically all, like, are they all videos or is there blogging involved? Or?
There's a lot of videos. There's podcasting going on.
Oh, wow.
They're on Pinterest, Google Plus, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And especially Periscope. We've got a real, real big following on Periscope.
Oh, wow, man. So what's the website again?
obsbeers.com.
Man, I'm going to go check that out. And when you come over to my house, I'll make sure to clear the history of all the porn. Yeah, and we'll just check out the obsbeers.com. Absolutely. I got your back, bro. Hey, welcome back, fuckers. That's right. We can say fuckers here on chillerradio.net on the Open Bottle Talk. Fucker, fucker, fucker. Alright, so, guys, I hate to say and be a jerk face, but that's who I am. It is me, Key.
I'm Frank.
And what is the next beer that we're about to do here on Open Bottle Talk?
We're going to be drinking a double IPA from the Tonopah Brewing Company. It's a regional brewer for us because we're living in Las Vegas. It's brewed out of Tonopah, Nevada.
Oh, yes.
So if you're in the mood to look up some information on these guys, www.tonopah.com.
Fair enough. And what's the ABV on this?
8.0%.
Aw, snap. Gotta love stuff that's local, right? Even if it's the neighboring town.
Yeah, but you know what? These days, anything that's kind of regional, whether for us it's Southern California or maybe even Southern Utah, that's kind of local for us.
Yeah, it is. All right. Oh. All right, I kind of like the label. It's got a lady. This is a coal miner, right?
Not sure that's a coal miner.
Coal miner's wife? Actually, no.
There's definitely a pickaxe on it.
It says some Roman numbers underneath. So like the movie lady?
Yeah.
So a little bit of
like
that.
The Columbia lady.
There you go. She needs one of them. She keeps the big banana hat.
Figure out one.
We'll figure it out. But before we figure her out, let's figure out this beer. Cheers to the smell. Toffee?
Yeah, caramel.
Oh, man. Very malty?
Yeah.
Boozy?
Quite sure.
I'm getting a little booze there, but man, that is deliciously dessert all day, every day.
But not IPA.
No.
Not at all.
Oh, my goodness. I'm just getting like the proverbial fucking hard on for this beer. What's man.
That? It's like, label it?
It's, wow. Holy shit, that fragrance is intriguing.
It's definitely boozy because my eyes are watering just a little bit.
I thought you were crying because it smells so good.
No.
Man, all right, you ready? Let's get down to the taste. Here we go. Okay, I got to go in for one more. That's weird. Okay, what is this style again?
It's supposed to be a double IPA.
Okay, I'm going to go in for one more. Hold on. Okay, if it's supposed to be a double IPA, it's got to be one of the most maltiest double IPAs I've ever had.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little bit of the bitters.
Little.
Even if the bitters are there, it's overpowered by the malt profile.
Oh,
it's like roasted, toasty, caramel, toffee, dessert goodness. Okay, there it is. See on the finish when you swallow it?
Yeah.
It's bitter as fuck. It's extremely bitter. But it's covered by this buttery texture, cream creamy beer. Yeah, I'm going to need you to stop drinking this so I can finish this. This doesn't taste like an IPA.
No. It doesn't taste like a single IPA.
No, I've never had an IPA.
Oh. You've got some weird stuff going on.
I'll be honest with you. This isn't a skunk beer, because a skunk IPA would definitely come off a different flavor. This, man. I mean, come on, Frank.
Really creamy. Really, really malty. I mean, it is sweet. Really sweet.
Yeah, it is phenomenal.
There's no really forward bitterness. Maybe you're catching it in the back. I'm catching a little in the back. Really not a lot. There's no citrus to it at all.
Right. It's called Tasker, too. The name of it is Tasker.
This tastes more like amber.
Yeah, this is like so creepy weird. Like, I'm in awe. Like, I'll be honest with you, it's getting a 5. Like, I'm going to tell my score now. It's getting a 5 because it's so different. It's spooky. Like, it's almost like, all right, I was just touched by my uncle, but he's that cool uncle, so it's okay. Like, that's how delicious. It's like, you know what? I'm going to call him. We had such a good time knowing it was wrong. I'm calling you up. Like, this is how weird and creepy this IPA is. And it's a double IPA. And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm seeing if this is an expired item. It is not. This is, okay, all I know is this, in the future, we're going to have to go to Tonopah and get this again.
Yeah.
Like, this is great. I this would be my first ever six-pack a day. If I had to have a six-pack a day, this would be one of them. This has earned its right on the wall.
It's just so odd. I mean, it really is. To me, that's the only word
that but is
really
it good?
Describe.
Okay, odd is a strong word. Is it good?
It is good.
Actually, keep going. You're actually going to, it's going to start turning better right now. Okay. I just actually did two more.
Because right now I'm sitting at, is it good for a double IPA? No, because it doesn't taste like a double IPA.
Right. No, keep going. Like, just keep sipping on it. I promise you that sweetness is going to start going away. Like, it's going to start going away, and that IPA is going to start bringing it to, it's going to start showing itself, because right now I'm getting more bitter. But it's still creamy, caramel toffee goodness, but it's getting a little more bitter.
I'm getting a little more bitter, but it still tastes like an amber.
Right.
To me, it's behaving like it's got some serious sweetness up front, and then in the back, it's got a little bit of a bitter finish, which I expect. But the sweetness up front always kind of outweighs it. So to me, there's not a lot of balance to it.
Oh, really? I think this is well balanced for it being odd.
For a double IPA, I'm expecting hoppy.
Yeah, of course, that's the confusing part. Double IPAs, you're supposed to get an aggressive hit. But this is a great example. Remember we always talk about IBUs are here? You know, at a certain level.
Right.
But if your malt profile is right next to it, you're not going to get the bitter.
Well, we also know as homebrewers that when you're trying to up your ABV, you're putting more malt in. Putting more hops into it, put more malt.
So it begs the question here is, I wonder what malt they were using, what grain were they using. And I think that's what's masking the double IPA. I think that's what's covering it up. It's malty as hell, and it's covering that bitter. But the more you drink, I promise you, you're gonna get more bitter. But this is a great example for people out there who always tells me what's the IBUs, and I said IBUs don't mean nothing to a consumer,
right?
Because if it's too much malt profile, you're gonna cover or blend with your hop, your bitterness, and this did it. This is a great example, so I'm even more impressed with this beer.
All right.
It's a little different. I'm sorry you're not on it, man, on this one. Mm. I mean, it's pretty cool. I like the confusion look on your face. It is delicious.
It's hurt my head. I'm wondering whether I'm off my game.
It's been a minute.
It's been a little bit since you and I podcasted together, but
yeah,
this is weird. And I Tonopah Brewing Company, I love them. I think they make great, great beer. I've never had this before. I'd recommend it.
Well, absolutely.
But weird.
All right.
It's weird. Off-putting weird.
I really wish you guys were here to see this man's face. Shit.
It's almost like having Modelo.
No way.
No, not in a bad way, but just.
But when you say it like that, that's, now you know they're going to go,
It's comparable to Modelo.
No, don't compare it to Modelo, because it actually is a really good beer. And if I was to say to a friend, you should try this amber beer that I had, awesome.
Right.
I would recommend this. If I had a friend who was saying, hey, kind of double IPAs, I wouldn't recommend this because to me.
Because they're looking for the hotness, right?
You're looking for a palate wrecker, I bet.
I don't know. This is like so sneaky, man. Also, I think because the mold profile is a little too high, that's sweet. You're going to get ripped off of six of them because you're going to suck this down. It's that sweet, dude. You're going to suck it down. But I'm telling you, that the bitter kicks in, man. So, all right, Frank, are you ready? Mm-hmm. All right, because your look on your face is ever most delicious. And I really do pray to all 80 light gods on the planet that I wish I could gain power from people's perplexed looks. I would be the most strongest creature on the planet. You just basically move me from 10 to 50. So, what's your score and why?
I'm going to do something a little weird. I'm going to give it 2 scores.
Okay? Fair enough. Let's do it.
As an amber. Because I really think that this is.
This is not. This is a double IPA.
I know what it says.
All right.
Amber.
don't, because they're gonna think it's an amber.
I don't care.
Okay, fine. All
as
right.
An amber, I'm gonna give it a 4 or 5. I think it's phenomenal. Phenomenal amber.
It's a transformer of a beer.
As a double IPA.
Okay.
I'll give it a 3.
All right. Fair enough.
It's not hop forward. Again, I like the ton of hop brewing. I think they do a great job. This is just so weird. I don't know if this is A, what they intended, right, or B, it got mislabeled.
I don't think they mislabeled it. I think it's different. I think
it doesn't look like an amber. I mean,
no, it looks like an IPA. It looks like an IPA. But again, all right, for me, guys, I'm gonna give this. I'm gonna be honest with you. Okay, based off what he says, I'm not doing 2 scores, but I will take in both considerations. Right, I'm a fair guy. I'm gonna go with a 4 or 5. 4 or 5. I was going to say 5 earlier, but just on the grounds that this is confusing, I want to be fair. You will, if you're a huge craft beer drinker and you get a hold of this beer, you could be one way or the other. This could be like a good argument. It's a great debate with people, actually.
Yeah.
But as far as a double IPA goes, no, it's not that aggressive bitter that you're looking for. But the malt profile covers it. It's right there with it. So the more you drink, I'm sure you're going to get more and more bitter. It's one of those build-a-beers. There's a lot of complexity going on here. And the sheer fact that it doesn't taste like a double IPA makes it awesome. You know, it's different. You know, and there's nothing wrong with going thinking outside the box. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's really cool.
I understand what you're saying, but if someone is coming to me asking me for my recommendation on a double IPA,
right,
they're a hophead. They want to have that palate. This is not what they're looking for.
Right. Well, fair enough. There's nothing wrong with that, man.
That's why I keep going back to absolute mislabel.
And there's nothing wrong with that either. And I appreciate your honesty, man. That's what we do here. We're honest, guys. We're not listening.
Because it's fantastic.
We'll be it honest. Really with, yeah, be on, here's the kicker, guys. We really don't care what anyone thinks about our opinion. It is our opinion. We do buy these. Some of them are donated. But to be honest, if it's something horrible, it's our duty as reviewers to say, well, they're missing a few elements. And the cool part is I like the way it's on today's show that me and Frank aren't seeing eye to eye. And I like that because we don't want to be mundane all the time for you guys. We're always going to, if something's good, we're going to agree to it. But at that point, if we're back and forth, it makes great material. Because as soon as we're done with this and the cleanup, I'm going to hit him over the head with the bottle and say, fucking Klutz, you fool. I think he called me that one time, so there's my payback. There it is. Mm-hmm. And anyways, all right, guys, we're going to go ahead and reset. We've got 2 more for you, and the last one I am so looking forward to. And I know a little bit of information on this brewery, but let's get ready for the next one. See you in a second. All right, everybody, we're back to Open Bottle Talk with
Frank
and Key. And right now, guys, we're going to get down into a beer from Lithuania. Believe it or not, that's right, ladies and gentlemen.
Where it's from?
Lithuania, because if you look at the cap, that's the name of the actual brewery. But in American translation, they went with this.
Which is Brick by Brick.
Yep. And what are we doing by Brick by Brick?
Called Eel Leg. What an odd name. Yeah. Eel Legs. It's an unfiltered lager, 5.3 ABV.
Okay, very low.
It bills itself as a special technology beer. Not really sure what that means.
So, it's part robot.
Yeah, I suppose. So why don't you go to Google or Siri and look up Brick by Brick and look up Eel Leg.
It is. And actually, the cool thing is their logo or their icon or mascot, whatever you want to go with. It is. It looks like the old-fashioned radio flyer wagon.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really cool thing. And the other thing is they're not a brewery. It says here Beer Workshop.
Yeah.
So in Lithuania, they have those. All right, there's that.
No, that just kind of sounds cool. Which it does.
Yeah, it does. So there we go. An unfiltered lager. I'll be honest with you, Mr. Frank. Never had an unfiltered lager.
Mm.
So I'm very interested in what's going on here. All right. Well, guys, I know we haven't done it on the show. We're kind of always changing the format, give you guys something different. And the reason why we weren't really talking about the visual is because I really feel as if you guys truly enjoy what we're talking about, we want you to have some sort of experience. We don't want to, like, spoil it for you sometimes.
True.
So you guys never know what type of show you're going to get. So here we go. But we are going to talk about this unfilteredness.
Yeah, this one I think we need to talk about what it's like. Because it does not look like a lager.
No, it actually comes off, I'll be honest, looks like a Belgian.
Yep.
Looks like an unfiltered or Hefeweizen. It's got a Hefeweizen color.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Or sour. It's sour, this color. So it's a very yellow, the best way to describe this is lemon jello. If I had to give you a color. Or super dark vitaminated.
I'd go honey.
You think a little honey? Yeah, honey, yeah.
It looks like some good honey. Not honey that's in the
honey in the raw.
Yeah.
Put a little comb in there. Absolutely. Guys, this is a very high yellow color, also a dark color yellow. So it's a high profile yellow. That's what I want to say. Nice, good profile yellow. It's unfiltered as shit. It's translucent. Translucent, not transparent. Translucent, you can see through it, but you can't really make it out. And transparent, as you see right through it. That's very interesting. The head is holding up pretty decent. Actually, the head's holding up better than most lagers I've seen. Mr. The Frank, what else you got on this interesting beer we got right here by Brick Plant Frank?
It's got an interesting color. The head retention is ill. Even when I swirl it back for a little more nucleation, not getting pronounced head to it. Lacing is okay. Disappears relatively fast. So not a lot of likes to it. And I'm not expecting to think it was 5.3% ABV. You know, it's right where a lager should be.
Okay, now I've noticed it says here, special technology beer.
Yeah.
Now, if I drink this and I turn into, let's say, some sort of vehicle,
right,
then I'm an Autobot. If I turn into some sort of
plane
or weapon, I am a Decepticon, absolutely. So let's hope that I don't metamorphosize into something greater than the asshole that I am now.
Let's hope.
I would hate to transform into like Sphinctator, and I'm like a big brown chocolate starfish destroying cities and shit. With fart and chocolate kisses everywhere. All right, guys, so here we go. Cheers to the smell. Let's find out what makes this a specially technology beer. It smells like a lager.
Smells like a lager.
It's definitely lagerish. It smells like Budweiser to me, but
metallic.
Yeah, I'm not impressed with the smell. It's too familiar. The smell is familiar.
Let's just move on.
No, your turn. No.
I've got the same thing. It's yeasty. It's not malty. It's yeasty. To me, that's where the lager always sits.
Yeah.
It's always yeasty, and the balance is usually off. Again, the frame of reference we use for lagers, unfortunately, Budweiser, Miller, Coors.
All the stuff that we grew up with, all your mainstream lagers, they have a run-of-the-mill smell. Not saying look, for anyone that's going to be like, no, but Coors taste, we're not talking about taste. It just has a simple smell that lagers put off that is just so mainstream. It sucks because there's no differentiation in between it. So if we smell a Belgian beer, we're going to smell one point. We're going to smell some characteristics, but there's always some different level to the nose or an amber. But with lagers, it's pretty fucking simple.
It's ready.
Yeah, and this just smells like Budweiser. All right, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Here we go. To your health, I guess. I kind of wish all lagers taste like this. It's got some citrus notes. I like that super bready taste to it. Now, I've had Brick by Brick before, and I've only been failed by one. And I don't want to mention the one just yet. But this is rather delicious for a lager.
It's actually good.
It tastes like a fucking Pilsner.
See, to me, Pilsner is a little spicier, a little more peppery.
All right.
To me, this is more orangey, more tangerine.
Tastes like Blue Moon a little bit.
No, definitely doesn't taste.
Okay,
I understand what you're saying, but to me, it still has a lager finish to it.
Yes.
But it's more citrusy than the lagers I had mentioned.
Well, I'm going to go in for a little bit more. What I can say is what I want to say, the more I'm having this, the texture to it is almost like a Hefeweizen because of that citrus note and that chewy bite.
Yeah.
But again, the finish is a lager, and whatever this special technology is that they use, it's rather impressive, and I really wish lagers truly were built like this, because then you can go different flavor profiles or different yeast.
Right.
This particular lager is, I would drink lagers again if they were complex like this.
Yeah, I'll go with you on that. It's definitely a complex lager. There's a lot of layers of flavor going on, which is odd because, you know, we're in America and we're of the age where something like Budweiser is really what we started with. So I think when someone says, I got a lager for you, you're immediately turning towards, you know, the memory banks in your brain are going toward Budweiser.
Yeah, and that's...
And this is not Budweiser.
No, this is... The smell is familiar, but the taste is in its own league. You can either get a couple things. You're either going to get lager out of it, you're going to get Pilsner out of it, you can get Hefeweizen out of it. Matter of fact, it also has some very faint characteristics of Belgian yeast a little bit. There's a lot going on here, and it doesn't matter what you're pulling from the taste. It is not going to be familiar.
It's probably fantastic ice cold.
Oh, absolutely. Again, we have...
Because lagers are meant to be drunk.
Yeah, but not this one. This one's got some... This got some oomph to it.
It does have some oomph, but this is something I'd like to try.
Ice cold, huh? Ice cold. Absolutely. All right, Frank, what you got for me on your score and why?
I'm going to go 4. I think for a craft lager, and honestly, I have not had a lot of craft lagers. I think this is a great example. It's got some complexity to it with the orange and the tangerine. Even though on the aroma, it's lager.
I mean, yeah.
It's really screaming lager. But when you taste it, it's got to be the unfilteredness to it, that it's the whole fruit profile is there.
Yeah, there you go. It's fruity. There you go. That's another great aspect. It's fruity. Man.
Yeah.
Man, would you do this again?
Ice cold.
Ice cold. It's fair enough. For me, guys, I'm going to rate this a 4. It's a trip. It's whatever special technology they're putting in nanobots. I think there's nano beer bots in here.
Maybe.
The filtered aspect is trippy. I actually now... I'm more interested in lagers if they're unfiltered. I'm like, sure, give me one. Because normally, if they're going to give me a lager, I usually pass on it. Because right. I just know it's just going to be simple. And sometimes at a beer festival, I don't want simple. I'm here to find out about some new shit.
Right.
And, man, this is just phenomenal just from the array of magnitude of different profiles we've been pulling out just on the taste. The smell, you can just we don't even have to do the smell. We can just discount that. Man, this is really good. Brick by brick, guys. I'm glad I did this beer. Trust me, there's a beer that they did that was just a little weird.
Yeah.
And it was so off-putting that it makes you question your faith in whatever deity you believe in. Right. That's how bad that one was. But this one is good. This one is pretty, pretty good. So, all right, guys, we're going to be right back. We're going to reset with the last beer of the night, and then we're going to close it out with our closing statements. See you in a second. All right, guys, it's about that time. We are on the last beer, and Mr. Frank, what you got from the camp?
We're going to be drinking Triple Voodoo out of San Francisco.
Yay.
It's Inception Belgian Style Ale. It's their version of a Belgian Strong, 8% alcohol.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, this was bottled 8/12/15.
Oh, good.
And it has a serial number on it.
Really?
This was number 104.
Not bad.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. I got this when I was in my travels in January at the Periscope Summit. And I went down and saw these guys, and this came out of the brewmaster there handed this to me.
That's cool.
It was like, here you go. I said, appreciate it. And it was really nice of him to do it. The whole entire bar is actually pretty cool. You would think there would be a lot of skulls in there by the name, but it's really not. But I did learn everything he does is Belgian yeast. Doesn't matter the style of beer, he puts Belgian yeast in there.
Okay.
And I am a huge fan of Belgian yeast. But it's actually one of the few yeast strains that I can actually pick out of any beer. So it's a very unique flavor profile that Belgian yeast puts in there. So here you go, Mr. the Frank. And a little bit from me. actually a lot for me because I have a problem drinking. All right, guys, so we're going to go ahead and get down to the smell. Mr. Frank, let's do it. Oh, it just did a proverbial squirt. It's Belgian yeast, man. If I were to give you a description of the smell, it's Belgian yeast. If you don't know what Belgian yeast is, Belgian yeast.
Yeah, it's got a sweetness to it that's, I mean, it's yeasty, but not like lager yeast. It's not off-putting. It is more sweet than any.
Yes. It's got a little funk to it, but that's just from the yeast. Yeast is, again, it is a wonderful, wonderful creature. And it puts up a little funk, but it is sweet. It is heaven. It is distinctive in its fragrance. Man, I'm ready to dive in. How about you?
Let's do it.
All right, cheers to the taste, you guys. Let's do this. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. This is definitely a, it's actually pretty interesting as far as, now, what type of style of, was this again, Mr. Frank?
It's a Belgian strong.
They're imitating it, though.
Well, yeah, it's their take on it.
Okay, it's no wonder the name Interception. Mm-hmm. Interception? Interspecies? What was it again?
Inception.
Inception. Okay, fair enough. And since as an educator, what does Inception mean?
The beginning.
Ah, this is highly impressive. I only need one sip, guys, because it's lingering. It's the linger aspect of it is extremely there. I'm getting, even though it's not a dark color, pulling out like your dark fruits, like your... I'm pulling out like figs, pulling out prunes. I'm getting some citrus. I'm getting Belgian yeast. It's very boozy to the palate. It's got that astringent burn. It almost comes off like a quad or a triple.
Yeah.
Which it's kind of deceiving based upon its golden filtered color. This is very, very unique as a beer. And the guy, again, I gotta love Belgian yeast. If this is what it's producing while still doing a particular style of beer, I don't know why everybody isn't using the Belgian yeast.
Well, if they're also trying to stay somewhat true to a Belgian style, they're using Belgian sugar candy. That's what's going to give it a whole lot more sweetness. That's also what pumps up the ABV.
Oh, nice.
Because it's not overly malty. It's definitely sweet, but you're not getting like a malt sweet to it. There's something, to me at least, there's something else that's sweet in it. I just happen
to
know.
Like a little sugar cane action.
Well, I know that in Belgians, they use Belgian sugar cane in the boil, so that's what gives it a little bit more sweet.
It's very delicious, guys. It's super smooth. It's not sharp or aggressive, but what's going on here is, if you're a fan of Belgian beers, this is made in San Francisco. I don't really know the background of the brewmaster, but it tastes worldly. It has a classic taste to it. Whatever recipe he invented or created, he's pretty much nailed a very classic style, and that would be hence the name.
Right.
This is a beginning of a beer. Now, I would recommend this for a beginner. I really would. I'd say, oh, you've never had a Belgian beer? What? It doesn't matter what the style is, but here's just a great Belgian beer.
Right.
Because of that yeast, man. It's just so distinctive. It is phenomenal.
Yeah. You know what? I agree with you somewhat. I think I would, if these guys make just a straight Belgian ale as opposed to the strong Belgian ale with higher ABV. Someone who's really just beginning really wants to try what a taste of a Belgian is. And I'm assuming that they make something that you may call a step down, so it's lower in ABV.
Right.
That's something that I would encourage people to try. I think with this being higher ABV and being so sweet, I think the alcohol could be masked in it.
Yeah.
So it's not, to me, it's not something that I would get the beginner to try.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so Frank, are you ready? I think you're ready. How do you feel about this and why and all that good scoring? I really think this is just a really stellar Belgian beer. What you got for me?
Yeah, I'm going to go 4. I think it's definitely well above average. It's got a lot of the Belgian characteristics to it, but also there's a West Coast feel to it.
Like with a hat?
No, definitely not a hat.
Okay.
I'm thinking more of a hop presence.
Okay.
I'm getting more of a bitter finish than I'm used to on a Belgian. I don't think it's from the alcohol. I think it's from a hop presence to it.
Okay.
So to me, it's kind of a mix. It's definitely Belgian style, but done in a West Coast San Francisco way.
Right.
So I'd go for it.
San Francisco's a Bay Area, right?
Yes.
Fair enough. See, I'm learning my geographical location.
There you go.
Because that's what Siri tells me. All right, guys. For me, guys, I'm going to go 4-5. I think because I'm the only reason I'm going so high is I actually had a chance to shake hands with the brewmaster. I had a chance to experience the awesome staff there. Now, not a lot of places I go to. The staff is so awesome. These guys were attentive, knowledgeable, and all around like how I would run my brewery. Just super friendly, super nice. Didn't care who you were. They treat you like that. I really appreciate that. Now, again, I'm also a huge Belgian fan. The reason why I didn't give it a 5 is because I didn't want to be biased or, you know, one way, because I do love Belgium, and I can't do that. That's not fair.
Right.
But I'm giving it a 4-5 because of how delicious this is, a classic feel, taste of the old world, and it's not as boozy as you think it would be because it's just that yeast and that mold profile, and there is a little of that bitter twang on the back end. This is a very nice, simplistic, complex beer. There's not more that you're going to take out of it, but the more that you do it, the more these flavors are intensified.
Right.
And now here's a question. Frank, would this be a sipper or a down?
I think it's a sipper. At this level, ABV, at the sweetness to it, it's going to mask the power and the strength to it. I think if you started down on this stuff, you're going to make a lot of bad decisions later.
Fair enough. All right, guys, with that said, we're going to go ahead and we're going to reset. And we're going to be back for our Q&A to each other at the end and our closing statements. And we're going to get you guys out of here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's about that time. It's time to get you guys out of here. Frank, I had a good journey with you. Do you think that we did some really good beer today?
Yeah, I think we did. Some interesting, kind of weird stuff.
Ah, you're damn right. And this is the first time we've ever been recorded that we've actually felt one way or another.
Yeah.
We never really are on the same path of this beer journey. That's awesome. So I give you kudos to that. So guys, what we've kind of been working on is a way to close out the show. So what we're going to do is we're going to pick each other's brain here. We have all 5 beers in front of us. We can basically see the labeling. We've got it all here in front of us. Frank has pretty much set a precedent at stake here and said, we're going to do 5 questions to each other, but they're not allowed to be the same.
Okay.
So, Frank, I'll start it off.
Yeah.
Because I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
Which one was your least favorite and why?
Least favorite?
That way you don't ask me.
Probably the Boot Amber Ale. Just because, it was more lager than... From the smell to the taste, it did not represent an amber ale well.
All right, fair enough. All right, your turn.
Which one was the most confusing to you?
The most confusing? Ooh, that's a good one.
It's been a confusing night, so.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to go with the eel legs.
Mm.
It was confusing. That smell, I was like, oh, great, lager, fuck. Then we taste it. They're like, holy shit. And then the creepy part about it is especially... It's special technology beer. It sounds like some Auschwitz shit. Like, they're from Lithuania, and they're like, okay, this is what we're going to do to this beer. And it went through some fucking reprogramming. So it's like some super soldier shit here.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if we were to say the secret code words, that this beer would fucking go in the fucking beast mode.
Probably.
Absolutely. All right, so Frank, which one of out of all these would you give to the Pope?
Pope.
Yes. Remember, he's really hip now because he's all about social media. So which one to the Pope?
You know what? I would give the Tonopah Double IPA and say, figure it out.
Without asking for help from up above?
Nope, because to me it was the most confusing of all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd want to see if he was befuddled as much as I was.
He's going to put hands on you and go, my child.
I'll take a blessing. I loved it, but it was weird.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. All right, what you got for me?
If you could only have one of these...
Okay.
And it's your last beer on Earth.
Okay.
Which one would it be?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Holy shit. All right. If I had one beer for... That was it. Man, this was pretty... Fuck you. This is a tough one. I'm going to have to go with the Inception.
Okay.
And the reason being is I'm just a huge fan of Belgium's. And if it had to be the last one to go out with a bang, then I need to go with what I love is that sweet, delicious, funky, fucking Belgium yeast, man. All
right.
All right, so we're 2-2. All right. Okay. If you were on a paid date with a prostitute, a very high-profile prostitute, and you guys are about to have dinner, right, at a highbrow place like Mr. Chow's or some shit.
Right.
out of all these beers, which one would you give that prostitute? Remember, she's highbrow. This is like $5,000 for the night. Right. Out of all five of these, which one would you say, this is for you, baby?
Okay. Well, since I'm paying her. Since I'm paying her.
Right, right. Unless you're the highbrow hoe.
No, let's go with.
You're paying her.
I'm paying her.
Okay.
I'd give her the tonne of pop.
Okay.
I'd use the same words I said to the Pope.
Figure it out.
Figure it out.
You know, it's just going to be like, whatever you want me to think of it if you're paying $5,000 for the night.
Yeah, I suppose.
But. All right, fair enough. It's just that, man, you're really on that one. All right, what you got for me? All right.
Let's see. Which one don't you want to have?
Oh, that would be pretty easy. I'm going to tell you right now, I do not want to do the Boot Amber Ale. Okay. It was just lackluster.
All right.
Very lackluster. Slightly a little confusing, and it was great to do it, but it's just one of those things. It's almost like having bum sex for the first time, and you're like, oh, I'll never do that again. Oh, great, I did it, off the bucket list type thing. So let's see, we're now 3-3. We got two more. Okay, I got one for you. I got one. If you were to make one of these beers for the rest of your life, which one would it be? Yep, this is the beer that you, this is the recipe, and this is all you're allowed to make as a homebrewer. That's why I hit you with it.
Third time's a charm. Tonopah. Except I would rename it Amber Ale.
Yeah, even though it's a double IP recipe.
Yeah. Because I'd swear, if it said Amber Ale on it, I would say that's one of the best Amber Ales I've ever had.
But they basically chicken fucked you, huh?
I suppose.
I mean, chicken fucking is a serious crime in three states. You know,
I still
think
maybe it was mislabeled.
Oh, man. You're going to have to write them and ask them.
I'm going to have to.
I think you should. I really do. I would love to hear that next time we get together.
Well,
did you email them? Because if you didn't, I'm going to ask. I'm telling them to do it. All right, so what you got for me? That was my third one. No, that was my fourth one. Yeah, that was my fourth.
Which one would you cook?
Oh, now that's a very good question. Out of all of them, I would cook with the 24 karat L. And the reason being, it's got enough spice out of all of them. That spice would carry over in the sauce, to be honest with you. I think it had a nice spicy complexity, but if I was making some sort of sauce for pasta, I think it would complement it very well. Or I would make a carrot cake and substitute some of the liquid with this beer and bake it. All right, let's see. Last question. I got to make it good here. All right.
I got one more. Right?
You got one more. Yep. I started it off. So let's see. Out of all these beers here, right?
Mm-hmm.
If one of your kids were to say, "Father," like just like that, "Father, what beer can I try as my first beer ever?" And they're only like 16. You know, it's in your home. What would be the beer that you would hand them for their first beer?
I think the 24-karat Golden Ale.
Okay.
Was, you know, I'm not thinking like this is a teenager and they should just be swilling macro Budweiser. I'm thinking, give them something interesting. And I think that was probably, aside from the Tonopah, that was probably the most interesting beer we had tonight.
Fair enough. What you got for me?
Which one would you pair with a light, flaky fish?
Son of a bitch. All right. What would I pair with a light fish? You son of a bitch. I'd have to go with the unfiltered lager. Eel eggs. I would have to go with it. It is that sweet that it would intensify the flaky fish.
Interesting.
Instead of overpowering it, now, the way you presented it to me, I think the fish was the main item of the plating, and for the whole meal that we're going to focus solely on the fish, I think it would complement it. Now, if you had to say, well, no, I want you to complement the beer with the flaky fish, then I'd honestly have to go with the Inception. I'd have to go with that because that is on its own. It would still go good with the fish, but you would eat the fish, and then you'd fill your gullet with the beer, and I think the fish would complement the beer. So that's why I kind of threw them both in there.
All right.
So with that said, anything else you'd like to say to everybody? Anything else?
It's been a confusing night, folks. Yeah. It really has been. Hopefully you've enjoyed my confusion as much as I didn't enjoy it. Because it's off-putting. It's weird. Usually Key and I are pretty close.
Conjoined twins.
Well, maybe not quite conjoined twins.
No, they fight too.
But we're usually kind of complementary to each other when we're doing this. And tonight, we were on opposite sides, which was weird. And the beers that we had, to me, were just, they were odd. They were not what I was expecting in almost every single one.
pretty much. For me, guys, I had a great time, like always again. And it's pretty cool that for once we were kind of clashing in our conversation. It was a really good debate. And so I always want to thank you very much for showing up and helping out with this particular program. Real quick, if you guys want to check us out and you enjoy today's show, please head over to obsbeers.com and just explore the website. All the social media is there. Everything is there for you guys. Every beer review, you name it, it's there. And I hope you guys enjoy the authenticity that we bring to you guys. Also, we want to thank chilllovelradio.net for allowing us to do this podcast, Open Bottle Talk. And as we always say, we want to end the show with beer is what we have in common.
What's your beer story?
And get the fuck out of here, fuckers.
Amen.
That's right. Keep it locked right here where you got it. It's Chill Lover Radio.